Everyone was so used to seeing Max, Maidkin, and Lester together that hardly anyone noticed when Lester went to Ricardo Soles, touched his shoulder, and pointed to the secure radio. Soles nodded his understanding that if the radio went off, he was to answer the call. Soles thought that Lester and Max and Maidkin were leaving the Quincho so that the dogs could meet the call of nature and Lester would then kick the soccer ball for them to retrieve. Both dogs could get a soccer ball in their mouths with no more effort than lesser breeds had with a tennis ball. The first person to sense that that had not been Corporal Bradley's intention was Edgar Delchamp, who happened to glance out of the Quincho into the backyard.
"Hey! Ace!" he called to Lieutenant Colonel Castillo. "As much as I would like to think the kid's playing cops and robbers, I don't think so."
Castillo looked at him in confusion, then followed Delchamp's nod toward the backyard. Corporal Bradley, holding a Model 1911 A1 45 ACP pistol in both hands, was marching across the grass by the swimming pool. Ahead of Bradley was a young man in a suit and tie, who held his hands locked in the small of his neck. Max walked on one side of them, showing his teeth, and Maidkin on the other, showing hers.
"What the hell?" Castillo exclaimed.
Sonder Tor, with almost amazing grace for his bulk, got out of his chair and walked toward the door, brushing aside his suit jacket enough to uncover a black Sig Sauer 9mm P-228 semi-automatic pistol in a skeleton holster on his belt. Castillo moved quickly to the drapes gathered at one side of the plate glass window and snatched a 9mm micro Uzi submachine gun from behind them. He opened the door as they approached the veranda of the Quincho.
"What's up, Lester?" he asked.
Corporal Bradley did not reply directly.
"On the porch," he ordered the man. "Jab to your knees and then get on your stomach on the tiles."
"Permission to speak, sir?" the young man in the suit asked.
"I told you to get on your stomach,"
Bradley ordered, as sternly as he could. He did not have much of what is known as a command voice.
"I do what he says, pal,"
Edgar Delchamp suggested conversationally.
"Lester's been known to use that 45, and Max likes to bite people."
The young man dropped to his knees, then went flat to the tile of the shaded veranda. Max leaned over him, showing his teeth. Maidkin sat on her haunches across from him.
"I apprehended the intruder behind the pine tree, sir," Bradley announced, "as he was making his way toward the house."
"He was inside the fence?" Castillo asked. "What happened to the motion detectors?"
"He was inside the fence, sir," Bradley said. "Perhaps there is a malfunction of the motion detecting system."
Tony Santini, carrying a mini Uzi, and Ricardo Soles, carrying a Car 4, came out of the Quincho.
"Jesus Christ, Peg Leg," Soles exclaimed. "What the fuck are you doing here?"
"Right now I'm laying on my goddamn stomach," the young man said.
"You know this guy, Ricardo?" Castillo asked.
"Yes, sir," Soles said.
Castillo waited a moment, then asked,
"Well?"
"He's an assistant military attaché at the embassy in Asuncion."
"Permission to speak, sir?" the man on the tile said.
"See what he's got in his pocket, Sandor," Castillo ordered. Sandor Tor bent over the man on the tile, took a wallet from his hip pocket and tossed it to Castillo. Then he rolled the man onto his back and went into the pockets of his jacket. He came up with an American diplomatic passport and tossed that to Castillo. Castillo examined it.
"Sit, Max," he ordered.
Max looked at him, head cocked.
"He's probably not a bad guy," Castillo added.
After a moment, as if he had considered then accepted what Castillo had said, Max sat back on his haunches.
"Permission to speak, sir?" the man on the tile said.
"Why not?" Castillo said.
"Sir, I request to see Lieutenant Colonel Costello."
"Nobody here by that name," Castillo said.
"Why don't we talk about what the hell you're doing here?"
"Sir, I came to see Colonel Costello."
"And if this Colonel Costello was here, what were you going to say to him?" Castillo asked.
"I was going to ask him for his help."
"Help about what?" Castillo asked, But before the man had a chance to open his mouth, Castillo asked another question.
You sneaked in here to ask somebody for help?
Sir, I didn't know what name you were using for the safe house. And even if I did, I didn't think you would pass me through the gate to this place, so I had to come in surreptitiously.
Son? Edgar Delchamp asked. How'd you get past the motion sensors on the fence?
Fences, plural.
Dry ice, sir. I froze the mercury switches.
Where'd you get the dry ice?
I bought it from a kid who delivers ice cream on a motorbike from the Freddo's ice cream store in the shopping mall.
And where'd you learn to use dry ice on mercury switches?
Fort Huachuca, sir.
He pronounced that correctly, Castillo thought. Huachuca.
What were you doing at Huachuca?
Delchamp challenged.
Going to the intelligence school.
You're an Army intelligence officer?
Yes, sir. First Lieutenant Edmund Lorimer, sir.
Lorimer?
Castillo said.
Your name is Lorimer?
Yes, sir. Same as that UN guy who got himself whacked in Uruguay.
You're a witness, Colonel,
Delchamp said, gesturing grandly.
You're Colonel Costello?
Lorimer asked.
For the time being, I'll ask the questions, Castillo snapped, and was immediately sorry.
You may get up, Lieutenant Lorimer.
Thank you, sir.
You can put the 45 away, Bradley, Castillo said.
He added,
but good job, Lester.
Thank you, sir. The credit is due Max. He either detected unusual movement in the pines or perhaps smelled him.
Take them inside the Quincho. Tell them good dog and give them each a bone.
Yes, sir. Sir, when Max has too many bones, and he's already had several today, he suffers flatulence.
Use your good judgment, Lester.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Castillo had been watching Lorimer out of the corner of his eye, idly wondering why he was getting to his feet slowly and carefully. He saw that Lorimer was smiling at Bradley, probably at the word flatulence. Lorimer's eyes met Castillo's for a moment, and when Lorimer was half sitting on the table there, Castillo saw what had caused him to get to his feet so slowly and carefully, and why Ricardo had called him Peg Leg. Lorimer's right trouser leg had been pulled up. Rising from his stockinged ankle was a dully shining metal tube. Titanium, Castillo thought. They now make those things out of titanium. How do I know that?
What happened to your leg? Castillo asked gently.
RPG, Lorimer said.
Where?
Afghanistan. We got bushwhacked on the way to Mazar, on Highway A-76.
Castillo knew well the Mazar airfield, and for that matter, Highway A-76, the road to it from Kabul. The next to last time he had been there, he had borrowed a Black Hawk helicopter to make an extraction of the crew of another Black Hawk that had been shot down. Far senior officers had reluctantly concluded that the weather was so bad that making such an attempt would have been suicidal. The last time he'd been at Mazar was to board a USAF C-5 Galaxy for the States, which carried him home with a vaguely phrased letter of reprimand for knowingly and flagrantly violating flight safety rules. The letter of reprimand was the compromise reached between several very senior officers who wished to recommend him for the Distinguished Service Cross, or perhaps even the Medal, and other very senior officers who wished to bring the crazy Special Forces son of a bitch before a general court-martial for willful disobedience of orders.
How far up does that thing go? Castillo asked.
To the knee. Actually, the knee's part of it. All titanium.
What were you doing in Afghanistan?
I thought I was winning their hearts and minds until this happened.
You were Special Forces?
Lorimer nodded.
Was. Now I'm intelligence. DIA.
How did that happen?
Well, for a while I thought I could do a Freddie Franks, but that didn't work.
General Frederick M. Franks, Jr., then an Army major, lost a leg to wounds suffered in the Cambodian incursion during the Vietnam War. He managed to stay in the Army by proving he could pass any physical test required of any officer. He became both the first one-legged general since the Civil War and, as a four-star general, the commander of ground forces in the First Desert War. Franks served as an inspiration to all, particularly to amputees.
Why not?
It hurt too much.
Okay. Who told you about this place? Castillo asked.
I asked around, sir.
I asked who, Lieutenant?
Castillo looked at Ricardo Solas, who proclaimed his innocence by shaking his head and wagging both hands, palms outward.
Lorimer said, A lot of people, sir. I just put it together.
Among them Solas?
He was one of them, but he wouldn't tell me anything. But he's how I found out where you were.
Castillo glanced at Solas, who motioned to maintain his innocence, then looked back at Lorimer.
He told you where we were? Castillo said.
Lorimer shook his head.
I followed him and that kid with the 45 out here from the embassy.
Solas and Bradley, who had been posted to the embassy before they had been drafted by Castillo, had been assigned to make daily, sometimes twice daily, errand runs from Nuestra Pequeña Casa to the embassy specifically and to Buenos Aires generally. The theory was they were familiar faces and would attract the least attention. Castillo looked at Solas, whose face now showed pain. Castillo was tempted to let it go, but changed his mind. Getting followed was inexcusable.
No rearview mirrors on the traffic, right, Ricardo? Castillo asked.
Jesus Christ, Carlos. I'm sorry.
His embarrassment, shame, was clear in his voice.
He's pretty good, Colonel, Lorimer said. He led me up and down every back street between here and Palermo.
But you're better, right?
Yes, sir. I guess I am.
Okay. So you're here. Why?
A friend of mine, a DEA agent, got kidnapped about a week ago. I need some help to get him back. I figured you were the guy who could help.
Maybe the only one, Lorimer said.
Why would you think that?
Because you got the bad guys who kidnapped Jack the Stack's wife and whacked him.
What if I told you I have no idea what you're talking about?
Sir, I would expect you to say just that, Lorimer said. But, sir, with respect, you better get used to the idea that the cat's out of the bag. I even heard of what went down, and I'm pretty low down on the pay scale. And in Paraguay.
Castillo looked at Delchamp.
Write this down, Ace. Delchamp said. There's no such thing as a secret.
Oh, shit, Castillo said, and shook his head. Then he turned to Lorimer.
Lieutenant Lorimer, I am Lieutenant Colonel C.G. Castillo, Special Forces U.S. Army.
Yes, sir.
I inform you herewith that I am here operating on the authority of a presidential finding.
Yes, sir.
Close your mouth until I'm finished. Lieutenant, you are advised herewith that each and every aspect of this operation is classified top secret presidential. From this moment on, you will not discuss with anyone what you think you may have learned or what you think you may have surmised about anything connected with this operation. That includes the names of personnel and the location of personnel or facilities and what I or anyone connected with this operation may or may not have done. Any breach of these instructions will result in your trial by general court-martial, at which, trust me, you will be found guilty, and being placed in solitary confinement at probably Leavenworth until the details of this operation are no longer of interest to anyone. You run off at the mouth, and you'll wish the RPG had got all of you. Got it?
Yes, sir.
He's got it. His face is white, and I feel like a shit.
You heard what he said, Ace, about the cat being out of the bag?
Delchamp asked, but it sounded to Castillo like a statement.
Head your butt out, Castillo said.
I was thinking about collateral damage, Delchamp said. Who's he been talking to? Which of them has been running at the mouth? What are you going to do about shutting them up?
There I go again, underestimating Delchamp.
Let's go to the house,
Castillo said, gesturing. You, Ed, and Tony, and... Somebody go inside and get Cieno.
Which one, Colonel?
Davidson asked.
Both of them,
Castillo ordered.
And Jack, sit down Lieutenant Lorimer here. If he even looks like he's thinking of taking off, shoot him in his good leg.